Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, November 1st. Today, reporter Michael Booth discusses how one energy company could be discriminating against Colorado solar panel owners. We also touch on the current ballot issue on Denver recycling. Before we continue, a message from our sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. A starry sky blanketed sugar beet farms in Weld County on the evening of November 1st, 1955. Suddenly, a streak of fire appeared, and pieces of metal, chairs, utensils, suitcases, and bodies rained down as Mainliner Denver, one of the jewels of the United Airlines fleet, plummeted to the ground, the victim of the first terrorist attack on an American airplane. Colorado dominated that fall's headlines, especially as President Dwight Eisenhower recuperated at Fitzsimmons Army Hospital after suffering a heart attack 5 weeks earlier. The Weld County coroner identified the 44 passengers and crew at a makeshift morgue in Greeley, and teams from the FBI rebuilt the mangled airplane at Stapleton Airfield from which the craft had departed on its way to Seattle. The investigation focused on passengers who had purchased flight insurance from kiosks at the airport before departure, a common practice of the era. Attention centered on one of the insured passengers, Daisy King, and her son Jack Graham, a man with a quick temper and a criminal record. King owned a Denver drive-in where Graham worked, and the two had had a fractious relationship since his childhood. Having driven his mother to Stapleton with his wife and children, Graham placed a bomb made of 25 sticks of dynamite in King's suitcase before she checked in. 11 days after the crash, law enforcement declared Graham the culprit behind the airplane's destruction. A trial in Denver's city and county building in early 1956 drew large crowds. After deliberating for an hour, the jury returned a guilty verdict and a death penalty sentence. On January 11, 1957, Graham strode confidently from his cell to the gas chamber at the state penitentiary in Canyon City for his execution. In rejecting an appeal for clemency the previous October, the state Supreme Court declared, quote, "Nowhere in the reports of criminal cases have we found a counterpart to this case, and we doubt if anything approaching it can be found in fiction." Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Health Insurance Headaches, virtually on November 16th from 6 to 7 p.m. Health reporter John Ingold will talk with experts about different Colorado health insurance options, shopping tips, and more. Registration is free and available at coloradosun.com/events. Now our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation. I'm grateful to be here with you again. And today we are visiting with Michael Booth, the Colorado Sun's environmental reporter. Michael, you've always got great topics, and today's going to be no different. How are you?
Still among the living, but happy Halloween and Day of the Dead week to everybody.
Indeed. And I hope that you had fun this past weekend and last night with your youngest out and about.
Yeah, it's great. Just fantastic weather for everybody to be out and about too.
It is. It is. And one of the things too that I wanted to talk about, because we're heading into time change weekend when typically, you know, lights are on earlier in the evening and, you know, heating bills start to go up and that sort of thing. And you've done a lot of reporting on some doings around Xcel Energy. And the most recent story I think that is running today in the Colorado Sun at coloradosun.com is about Xcel potentially discriminating against Colorado solar panel owners. And the PUC staff wants some answers, PUC being the Public Utilities Commission. Can you explain that a little bit for us?
Sure. We published a story a couple months ago over the summer about the fact that solar panel owners are really treated differently than, there's something like 60,000 of them in Colorado now. Xcel, as many people know, has been installing smart meters in people's homes, about 500,000 of those a year. So everybody should have them in another year or two from now. And what that does, it allows Xcel to charge you different rates at different times of the day. So peak times, you come home from work on a hot summer day, flip on the air conditioner, flip on the oven, you're going to pay more for that electricity than you would if you were doing something in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning. So what they want people to do is charge their cars at 2 in the morning, turn on their dishwasher, you know, after everybody's asleep at night when there's less of a demand on the grid and they can pay lower prices. Solar customers who have solar panels on their homes and can actually generate extra electricity and sell it back to Xcel and put it out on the grid have not been able to get those meters. And so they've actually been losing out. Xcel will be charging neighbors 17 cents a kilowatt hour. And the only thing that they're paying the solar panel owners for their electricity is 8 cents an hour. So it's this imbalance. And we wrote about it and tried to explain it to people. And apparently we explained it well enough that the PUC staff said, huh, that doesn't sound right. And wrote a 21-page memo to the PUC commissioners who have the decision-making power and saying, we would like you guys to decide whether this is fair or not. It doesn't seem fair to us. And they gave a lot of details. And the fun thing, I guess, for Colorado Sun and people who want to try to get things done in this wacky world is that they liked our article enough to cite it 6 or 7 times and mentioned that, you know, we had explained it in a way that they could understand it and that the general public could understand it. And so now the PUC will be making a decision on that this week.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I remember the article you published back in July, I think it was. I pulled it up in case our listeners want to refer to it too. It was July 19th, Xcel paying Colorado solar homeowners 8 cents for their extra electricity and then charging neighbors 17 cents to use it. You're also going to have links to that story in today's updated story on coloradosun.com. Both of them are great reads, and it is quite a differential in those payments. Does Xcel have an explanation for it at this point, or is that what these hearings are about?
Well, they've had to jump on writing better explanations as a result of this big memo that they have to answer to at a Public Utilities Commission hearing later on this week. But in the past, they have told us that, yes, it's true that at the moment, solar panel owners are treated differently, but it's the fact that the smart meters and time of use billing and net metering, where you generate more electricity and get paid for it, it's all very complicated in terms of billing. And it takes they got to write new software, they got to create whole new billing systems, and that just wasn't ready for the more complicated homes of solar owners. And so that they were sort of put on the back burner. And that those people would get their smart meters all by the end of 2023, and some of them sooner than that, and that there really wasn't much more they can do about it. It was technology, it's complexity, and that revolutions in climate change and electricity and how things get charged for don't just happen overnight. And so I'm sure they will be explaining more of that to the PUC. What the staff at the PUC was upset about, and the solar trade groups and some of the homeowners, was that PUC has been talking with Xcel and a lot of other stakeholders about doing this time of use billing for years and years and years, and at least 3 years since they said, yes, we're going to go ahead with it statewide. And the Xcel executives never raised this issue as being something that was going to be a complication. And so at the very least, the staff is asking the PUC commissioners to call Xcel to account and make them explain why they never brought this up before. And what they're going to do about it, they call it, they say it appears to be an injustice to them, and they would like to see what's going to be done about it. The staff is saying one thing that the PUC should consider is if it's clear, if they agree that Xcel hasn't been fair in the way it's been charging the rates and installing the meters, that perhaps if there are homeowners who can prove that they put out more on the grid and didn't get paid fairly for it, that Xcel should compensate them for the last couple of years and then a coming year and a half.
Yeah, interesting. And PUC meetings, public meetings, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And we'll be following up in either in the temperature or in another story, explaining to people what happened so that all the solar homeowners can know about it. And the solar homeowners care not just for themselves. It's not going to be a huge amount of money. It's not like they're going to be making thousands of dollars or anything like that. But they call it a principle thing that if Xcel is serious about, you know, making the cleaner grid and spreading solar power into more places and being a supportive partner of solar all throughout Colorado, the Front Range, that this is not the way you act when you're a good partner. And so they want to see Xcel behave differently.
Interesting. And thank you for walking us through that. I know that we'll visit about it again down the road. Also, 1 week from today is officially election day. On the ballot, at least in the Denver area, is a Denver recycling vote. Can you give us a quick explanation of that for folks who have not already filled out their ballots?
Very quick version, and please everybody vote. And if you already voted, that's great. But on the Denver ballot for people living in the city and county of Denver, there is a question about trying to expand recycling. It would be quite a big expansion. Right now, the city picks up the recycling, the compost, and the garbage for single families, single homes, and single residences. They do not, over 7 apartment units or more, pick it up there. And they have the landlord arrange for that at bigger apartment buildings. And there's a lot of those. You know, there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who live in those apartment buildings. They don't get access to recycling unless their landlord arranges it for them, and they don't all do that. So this ballot issue would say that all of those larger landlords of larger buildings will have to start providing recycling and composting. And that includes restaurants. It includes big construction sites that have a lot of construction waste. And so it's actually quite a big revolution in recycling for the city of Denver.
And that would be. And, you know, you mentioned I live in a condo complex that has more than 7 units. And so our HOA happens to provide recycling for all of the residents. But I know there's a lot of massive apartment buildings and some condo buildings elsewhere in Uptown Cap Hill and downtown where, you know, they have hundreds and hundreds of tenants. And that's probably this is a really interesting issue for them.
Yeah. And the apartment owners are not formally resisting it, which is surprising, except that they took their own polling and found out it was so overwhelmingly popular among the target audience for voters that they decided they weren't going to waste their time trying to get in the way of that, what they considered a runaway train, and that they will now spend their time trying to figure out how to implement the law if it likely passes in a way that can work for them. They do have a lot of questions. They say it's going to be very logistically hard to do in a lot of apartment buildings, especially talking about, you know, let's say a 15-unit building in Cap Hill. And they're saying there's no space to put the recycling bins. There's no space to do composting. It's crazy. How are we going to make this work? And the few companies that are willing to pick up stuff are going to have a monopoly and charge high prices, which will get passed on to the renters. But they are not formally opposing it. And therefore, pretty much everybody assumes it's going to pass.
Interesting. Well, and we'll follow that up too, as well as the topic with Xcel and the Public Utilities Commission. Mike, thanks again for dropping by, and thanks to everybody who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners at Pirate Audio. Have a wonderful day out there, and I sincerely hope that everyone can join us for the next episode of the Daily Sunup.
Read more on this story at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Hugh McKean, one of Colorado's top Republican lawmakers, is being remembered this week for his optimistic outlook and ability to build a consensus. McKean died Sunday after having a heart attack. He had just turned 55. The Loveland representative was first elected into the legislature in 2016 and was named the House Minority Leader in 2020. He quickly became known in the legislature as an even-keeled bridge builder, working to find ways to influence Democratic policy even as Republicans remained in the minority. Resource Connect started 3 years ago at Children's Hospital Colorado and continues to help thousands of families. Every time a child has a checkup or sees the dentist or eye doctor at the Aurora Hospital's pavilion, their parent fills out a screening form that includes questions about food insecurity, housing, and mental health. Depending on their answers, they might get guided to on-site help immediately. The program has become a model for the rest of the country, and last week, health officials from hospitals around the U.S. were in town to check it out. Colorado mental health officials are opting out of a federal program that tracks teen behavior as youth mental health worsens. Instead, Colorado officials said the state will focus on improving its separate study called Healthy Kids Colorado, which includes questions similar to those in the CDC survey and Colorado-specific questions. The Colorado survey, which has been running for about a decade, covers about 100,000 students across the state, nearly 100 times the number that participated in the CDC's state-level survey in 2019. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.